Spring has sprung and summer is approaching. We're doing more out of doors and there are some critters awaiting us. I'm David Fair and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The critters to which I refer are ticks. Scientists, entomologists, and health advocates are all predicting somewhat of an explosion in the tick population in 2017. The likely result will be an increase in the number of cases of Lyme disease. Eric Foster is a medical entomologist with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and thank you for your time today, Eric. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, David.
To what can we attribute the anticipation of higher tick populations this summer in our part of the state?
Yeah, David, I think that a lot of people are anticipating high tick numbers because of the warm winters that we've had over the past couple of years. During the winter, the ticks are laying in wait under the leaf litter in the forest, and the higher the temperature, it would mean there were more survival of these ticks. The colder the temperatures, there's more attrition in the population. So as more of these ticks are surviving through the winters and shorter winters, they're going to be coming out in higher populations.
Historically speaking, we've had the occasional warm winter with light snows and higher temperatures. I grew up in central Ohio and we spent the summers digging deep into the woods, playing around the creeks and the waterways, all wearing shorts and going shirtless. None of us ever dealt with a tick, and no one from that era of my life, to my knowledge, has ever contracted Lyme disease. So when we talk about warmer winters now, is it climate change? Are the conditions improving for tick survivability and expansion in a much different way?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's, you know, climate change in general as a long-term consequence of climate change where we're seeing tick populations increasing. But what I can tell you is that we are seeing the distribution of the tick species. For instance, you're talking about being in the woods when you were a child and playing and not coming into contact with any ticks. This is the same thing that I hear from Michigan residents all the time. And they say, you know what, it hasn't been until the last couple years that I've been starting to see ticks. And this is really a generalized trend of the distribution, that the species are moving and expanding their ranges.
And adapting, it sounds like.
Absolutely, and into habitats where they have a good climate and host animals for them to feed on. And ticks, we are not their primary host. It's the wildlife that's in the forests and in the fields, the mice, the chipmunks, the deer. You know, certainly as climate does change or as it ebbs and flows, warmer winters are going to lead to higher survivability of tick populations and allow them to kind of expand.
I did some poking around, and for at least the past decade, there have been reported cases of Lyme disease in Washtenaw County, but it was generally thought that the tick-borne illnesses were derived through exposure from those who had traveled away from home. Now, last year, in 2016, there were 17 cases of Lyme disease detected in Washtenaw County. Four were thought to have originated right here in the community. Based on what we've just talked about, are we going to see much higher levels of Lyme disease reported in the years to come?
You know what, David, I think that is true. I mean, not to get drastic about it, but what we've seen in Michigan over the past 10 years is a slow and steady rise in the number of Lyme disease cases being reported to us that are local exposures. That is, people are exposed to ticks near their homes, in their communities, in their counties. And to your point of Washtenaw County, that was a very interesting investigation that we did last year. We did not think that the black-legged tick or the deer tick, which transmits Lyme disease, was endemic to Washtenaw County yet. It has been expanding from the west side of the state across and eastward across the state and has been detected in Ingham County even recently as well. But we didn't think it was as far as Washtenaw. But in investigating some of the cases of Lyme disease that are reported, we found that one of these cases had tick exposure reported in Washtenaw County. And so when we went out to investigate around the home of that patient and in local natural areas, we did find those last year. And we found the agent that causes Lyme disease. It's a bacterium called Borrelia burgdorferi, and we found that in the local wildlife and in ticks in Washtenaw County.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU with Michigan Department of Health and Human Services medical entomologist Eric Foster. Eric, what are the best preventative measures we can take to try and prevent ticks from finding us as an attractive host?
That's a great question, David. There are several things that we can do, and the first one is to be educated. So thank you for allowing me the time to speak on your show today. I think the more that people know about ticks in their environment and that they are emerging in Michigan, and this is something that we're going to have to deal with year after year, is a good thing, so that they are more conscious about, you know, going out in the woods and doing the protective things they need to. And those things are the same that we would tell people to do in trying to keep from getting something like West Nile virus, which is wearing insect repellents. And those insect repellents could be anything from DEET to picaridin to oil of lemon eucalyptus. There's a number of EPA-approved repellents.
Now, some of those are not recommended for children. How do we protect our kids?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. So with children, there are some that you can put on children, and it is good to make sure that you're reading the label on those and choosing those products. But doing a proper tick check, if your children are out in the woods and you're recreating or working out there, and I would never tell anybody to not go in the woods, but the things that we can do to protect ourselves are to do occasional tick checks and frequent tick checks if you're in the woods where there are ticks, because removing one of these small black-legged ticks promptly can prevent Lyme disease. It does take many hours for the bacteria to be transmitted from the tick to a person, and if you can remove the tick promptly, you know, the best way to do that would be with fine-tip forceps or tweezers, if you could grasp it as close to the skin as you can.
Should I save that tick?
You know, that's another good question, David. We do have a service that's available to Michigan citizens. We have tick submission kits, and we can identify ticks for people. And if they are alive, we can test them for Lyme disease. Those tick kits are available for order on our website. They're available from local health departments. And generally, the day that we get the tick in, and I get them into my office every day, we will identify those. If they are the appropriate species, which would be the black-legged or deer tick, and they are alive, we will forward them on to our lab to test for Lyme disease.
Now, absent that process and procedure, should I see a doctor if I find a tick on my body?
Well, you know, it really depends. If you know that this is a black-legged tick and you're in an area where Lyme disease is common, then, you know, and if it's been on there for several hours or more, maybe up to days, it may be worth it to go see your physician and ask them about this exposure. It is not recommended that everybody who has a tick bite gets antibiotics. Not every tick is infected, but there are certain protocols that the physicians are aware of, depending on the tick species, where prophylactic antibiotics may be necessary.
As this becomes a more prevalent issue and we're going to see more people contracting Lyme disease, and in other parts of the country there are certain other tick-borne illnesses as well, is something like a vaccine or more effective treatments being developed?
You know, I'm really not sure, David, what the status is of vaccines, and I do get this question sometimes. There was a vaccine on the market previously for Lyme disease, but it was pulled off the market a number of years ago. Since then, I haven't seen any great movement in that direction. However, to your point of other tick-borne diseases, I think it's important to note that when we're talking about this tick, this black-legged or deer tick that transmits Lyme disease, that is not the only disease that this tick transmits, and sometimes other diseases can be confused for Lyme disease in its early stages.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to diagnose, isn't it?
It can be, because the first symptoms of Lyme disease can be very general. They can be flu-like in nature, you know, body aches, headaches, fatigue, fever, these types of things. But one thing that's characteristic about Lyme disease in about 70% of cases is what they call the bullseye rash. And this is an expanding rash that occurs around the site of the bite and expands out. It's not like you would think of a bug bite, which would be itchy and kind of raised and small. So that is very diagnostic of Lyme disease and occurs in many people. But those early symptoms with the flu-like illness, that's very similar to other diseases such as rickettsial illness and anaplasmosis, which we are starting to see in the tick population on the west side of the state now. And it's common in Minnesota, Wisconsin, our neighbors to the west, and in the East Coast. So as Michigan becomes a state that has more and more established populations of these ticks, these diseases are emerging and going to emerge as well.
I thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
That is Eric Foster. Eric is a medical entomologist with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's heard only on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.